Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, and today is Thursday, October the 23rd, 2025. And joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
Chris Woodward.
Hello.
Good morning, Brother Chris. And Ray Pritchard in Kansas City.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Everything's good. Ball is in the air, and I know it's in the air there in Kansas City, too. The leaves turning?
Yeah, cover? And it was 36 degrees this morning.
Ooh.
No, as they say, I do not receive this.
I'm sorry for the English teacher. My apologies to the English teachers out here, but 36 ain't fall.
That's right.
To me, that's winter.
That's winter. is what that is.
You entered winter territory right there.
That's right.
But it is fall, and I noticed that some bitter cold weather is coming to the northern tier. I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we were in the 40s overnight here in the deep south.
Yeah.
I have transitioned to a jacket for my morning walk.
I'm missing that global warming. I wish it'd come back.
Yeah. Where did it go?
All right. So much to talk about today on the program, and that's a good thing because it's a talk show, and we got an hour and a half to fill here. And we have no records to play. Yeah. So good thing that we have topics to talk about. But as always, as I said earlier, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. We're here 24/7, and our goal and mission is to inform, equip, and motivate because we need to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out.
Amen.
To as many people as possible because people need to hear about the saving grace of Christ. Mm-hmm. But also we have a country we're trying to help save because we love America and we want to preserve it for our children and our grandchildren and future generations, and we can't have our freedoms lost.
Amen.
And our way of life destroyed. So we're standing for those traditional American values that made our country great in the first place. So that's why we're here every day. And one of the ways we do that is to tell you what's happening in our country through a program like this and other programs so that we can be informed, make a difference, and especially when we go vote, who we want to vote for that will make decisions for us. There is a breaking story, Fred, that's going crazy right now. What is it about?
This is about to explode, and I think to be the big, huge story of the day. You can go to afn.net right now. Heats Rozier and Trailblazers Billups among dozens arrested and gambling probe tied to the mafia. That is the headline. Very briefly, more than 30 people have been arrested in just the last few hours, like since midnight last night. They include at least one NBA player, a coach, and many others. What's going on here, they've been caught in a gambling ring that also involves the mafia. All right. So in one case, and this has to do with a Portland Trailblazers, the Miami Heat guard, Terry Rozier.
Yeah. Let me just tell folks maybe who don't follow the NBA that this is involving the National Basketball, the NBA. This is the top professional basketball league in the world right here.
Yes.
And this is involving players and coaches. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
And,
go ahead.
And others.
Okay.
And the mafia. One person says, this is the big headline of the day. The mafia is back.
Yeah.
You know, they've been investigated for years. We've been involved in gambling. But we've got players. We've got coaches. In one case, Rozier, the allegation is, I'll put it this way.
He's the player in Miami.
Yes. Yeah. The allegation is he got so involved that he took himself out of games in order to win a gambling bet. Now, Tim, we're talking about a player with a contract of more than $20 million being involved in gambling, allegedly, where the payoff might be $100,000 or $200,000. That's another part of the headline here. Why would you do that? You're getting paid over $20 million. Why would you be involved with this? This story is just going to build and build. The FBI, the New York Police Department, just finished a news conference, so we're just getting details.
So the FBI is involved here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, heavily, heavily. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so far they're saying 30 people.
Yep.
It may spread to more people, but Ray, you remember in our history of American sports, there have been a few times over the we've had these kinds of scandals, you know?
Well, the big name we all talk about is Pete Rose. And, you know, the question about betting on baseball and did he bet on his own team and so on. But this is so much bigger than that. You're talking about many different players. You're talking about enormous sums of money. And you're talking about not tricked into it, Fred, not tricked into it, but they go into it. Even though you're making – one of these guys I just saw had a $96 million contract. So why would you do it, even if you're going to make $100,000 or $200,000? The temptation is always there, and it looks like they've been on – FBI's been on this case for over a year.
Yeah. NYPD says about 2 years investigation.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you guys. I don't understand, given the money that you make playing today, I don't know why you would do something like this for – I mean, $100,000 is a lot of money to us, but for these guys, it's not a lot of money if you're making $10 million a year, for example, like some of these. But anyway, I guess more will be released and announced today. But the idea of throwing games just is so repulsive to people who enjoy watching athletic competition, because you're thinking now, you're thinking, you know, why did this player – you know, your mind starts to go, is this game fixed?
Yeah.
You know, is this game –
I've already seen – I mean, hardly a day goes by without somebody throwing out some it's long been rumored that, in certain people's words, the NFL is rigged, and this only feeds those kinds of rumors.
But now, I would say this. It would – this is I know it's going to be 30-plus people involved or whatever. At this time, probably be more to be announced. However – 99.9% of athletes are not going to participate in this kind of activity, throwing games, because their competitive instincts won't allow for it, number one, and they know that they'll get in serious trouble should they be found out.
Yeah, the other part, it's not just sports games, it's rigged poker games.
Yeah, what is that about?
Well,
is
that's
this a separate story?
They encompass, they're related. These are rigged poker games backed by the mafia. We're talking about games set up where there are cameras underneath the table, cameras in the chandeliers.
Is this in Las Vegas, or where is this? Do you know?
I'm not. Well, it's New York. This news conference was in New York.
Okay.
So we're talking. So people get invited. I don't understand all of this completely, but people get invited to games where there are other people controlling. They can see the cards in front of them. Yeah. I mean, this has been going on for years.
Right.
But apparently this is on a massive scale run by the mafia.
Wow.
Well, and I think part of it, Fred, is on these rigged poker games that you get the marks, so to speak, and you charge them a certain amount of money to come play poker. And they don't know it. They're going to lose everything. But one of the players around the table is an NBA player, present or former. And that draws people like what flies to honey, right?
Yes, yeah.
You know, people are going to come out for that. So it's a very sophisticated kind of scam.
Well,
and
I told Allison, there's a reason I'm losing here, and it's not me.
Yeah,
and she didn't believe me. But now I got some evidence.
Yeah.
Right.
To give people an idea of how big at least one of these people that, again, has been charged here, Chauncey Billups is the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers NBA team. He was inducted last year into the Basketball Hall of Fame. He played in the NBA for 17 years and was a five-time All-Star. So this is like a little fish in a big pond.
They got a shark. Now, what's he being accused of?
He's been arrested along with Terry Rozier, and they're charged with these other people in connection with schemes involving illegal sports betting and rigged poker games. That's the wording that the FBI announced today or used.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. That's a breaking story, so there'll be more developments later on today.
Yeah.
But it's so serious that the Federal Bureau of Investigations chief, Kash Patel, is having a news conference on this, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll stay with AFN, because if the Lord tarries today, we will have more on this throughout today.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. What's your next story?
Well, let's keep it with sports for just a moment, because this is also a cultural issue. Late yesterday afternoon, the Minnesota Supreme Court decided the state's Human Rights Act supports males competing against women in weightlifting competition. This is a case that's been going on for several years involving an individual that identifies or uses the name J.C. Cooper, a male who claims to be a woman, and J.C. has wanted to compete against women in the women's division of weightlifting, and he claimed it was discriminatory for the state not to allow him to compete against women. And the Minnesota
Supreme
Court
talked about this yesterday. This decision is in the state of Minnesota by their Supreme Court.
Yes.
And Minnesota is a blue state now. I mean, it's got some red parts to it. Outside of the Twin Cities, but it's been taken over basically by the wokesters, by the secular progressives. So this Supreme Court, this case goes, the student here, who was a dude who said he was a girl and he wanted to compete against girls in weightlifting.
Correct.
That's what this was about. And this is winding its way, or wound its way, through the courts there. Because this is like 5 or 6 years ago. So this student is long gone from the high school, but the decision came down to by the Minnesota Supreme Court to say that biological males can compete against
what
girls, or what did they say exactly?
What this Minnesota Supreme Court, by the way, all its members appointed by Democrat governors in that state.
Yeah, it's far left.
Oh, yeah. What the court decided yesterday is that they decided in favor of this guy because his claim of being a girl is supported by the Human Rights Act of Minnesota. However, the court sent part of the case back to the lower court to determine whether USA Powerlifting, who bought the case, they favor just women playing in women's sports, has a, quote, legitimate business purpose for excluding J.C. Cooper. In other words, they're opening the door to the possibility that, yes, the Human Rights Act says this, and we agree with it. However, perhaps their argument that allowing a guy, a biological male, to compete against more fragile women, there is a legitimate business purpose for not allowing a biological male to compete. Yeah. So the story isn't over yet.
Yeah. All right, next story, Chris.
Where do we even go? Let's begin here. President Trump has announced some new, tougher economic sanctions on Russia, specifically their oil revenues, because a lot of countries in Europe and other parts of the world rely on Russia for oil and natural gas. And President Trump seems to think that now is a time in which we need to slap some new, tougher sanctions on Russia to try to get Vladimir Putin to end his war with Ukraine here. I've got some audio of President. I think this has a little music underneath it because it was used in that way by Fox, but clip 14.
The two biggest oil companies, among the biggest in the world, but they're Russian. They do a lot of oil, and hopefully it'll push. Hopefully he'll become reasonable, and hopefully Zelensky will be reasonable too. You know, it takes two to tango, as they say.
So Ray, you've been following this at all?
Yeah, and number one, we have put so many sanctions on Russia already. I'm surprised there's anything left for us to do. Number two, it is quite true. The Russian economy is not great and has not been great for a while. And they do rely heavily upon the oil, the oil trade. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what these sanctions are or how they're going to work. But, when you listen to Mr. Trump, He is just the consummate deal maker, right? Maybe this will change Putin's mind. Maybe Mr. Zelensky, it takes two to tango. He's still hanging on to his dream of using this as a carrot and stick approach to solve the Russia-Ukraine war, which grinds on and on and on.
I'm like you. I didn't know there were any sanctions left to impose. And if why we haven't done this earlier, Fred, do you have any?
Well, I think it's one of those sanctions that's kind of, it's one thing to freeze Russian assets, like in banks around the world, which has already been done. But it's another thing to say we want countries to stop buying their oil from Russia. Countries need oil to exist.
Right.
So this is a
kind of like food.
Kind of like food, yeah. So this is a tougher one to implement. You're going to go to a country and say, we want you, in the name of trying to stop the Ukrainian war, to stop buying the fuel that you use to run your cars and your economy.
Yeah. That's like asking America to quit buying tennis shoes from China.
Basically,
it's impossible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You can ask, but people aren't going to stop.
Yep.
That was a bad analogy, but I think people get the idea. So what got me was to learn that Russia sells oil to NATO countries.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And NATO countries are the ones who are most upset about his invasion of Ukraine, other than the Ukrainians themselves.
Yeah. Hindsight is 2020, but Canada, the U.S., and Mexico could have done some sort of North American equivalent to OPEC years ago and prevented this conversation from happening.
But no, we don't buy.
No, the
U.S., Canada, they don't buy oil from Russia.
We actually still do bring in oil from other parts of the world, but we don't get it from Russia.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see what happens. I thought
that last comment from President Trump was interesting. Kind of like these two have to come to the table. Zelensky has to make some compromising. So I think where Trump is right now is one way to stop this, get the sanctions in place. Well, but Zelensky's going to have to give up some of that territory that Russia has won.
You did see that Russia is now bombing Kyiv.
Oh, yeah.
Drones and stuff. Mm-hmm. I saw a picture just made you cry yesterday of a kindergarten center that Russia hit in Kyiv, which is the capital and largest city of Ukraine, and it was terrible to see that happening, you know, to innocent little babies being killed. But did you see that, Ray? Did you see that story?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's in the news. Just type in Ukrainian kindergarten and you'll see that. You'll see that story. I don't know. Who knows when this will end up? You know, it's been a meat grinder for 3 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people thought it'd be over in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Ukrainian fighters have at least held off the Russians from taking over the whole country. I don't know how much. Do the Russians control like a third of what was of the Ukraine now?
They certainly control segments of the eastern quarter of the country.
Yeah. How would you, I don't want to get into this too much, but how would you, if you're Zelensky, he's just being told to surrender or give up?
Those segments on the eastern part of the Ukraine.
Okay.
That's what Trump wants him to do.
Okay. Would that be the end of the war then? You know? You think so? That's what...
Well, my understanding from what I've read in the last few days is that Putin says, no, I want more than those couple of segments in the southeastern part of the country.
Yeah. Ray, have you had any communication at all with the folks you know there in Ukraine?
Yeah, and they are so weary. Mm-hmm. All the people I know have suffered greatly. In fact, I don't know, of all the Ukrainians I know, I don't know any of them haven't been touched deeply and personally by this war. And so they are praying desperately that it comes to an end. Nearly all of them have lost friends.
Probably multiple friends and family.
Yes, in the battles. A lot of them have lost their homes. And if I could venture an opinion, they're willing to fight on. They, as tired and weary as they are willing to fight on because they think Putin will stop at nothing until he conquers all of Ukraine.
Okay, so we might as well. It's either fight them now or fight them later.
That's right.
Yeah, I got you. Mm-hmm. Well, I know President Trump means well, and I know a lot of people are suspicious of Zelensky, and Ukrainians in the past have, you know, been like a lot of the world. They've had a lot of corruption, but at the same time, it was Russia that invaded Ukraine physically. Now they would say, well, we were provoked. I know what people say, and so the people of the Ukraine, remember a million of them like left immediately, mm-hmm. right? Especially women
and Poland,
women yeah. and children, huh?
Mm-hmm.
To go to, remember that?
Yeah.
They've just had their country turned upside down and their lives turned upside down. And I just, to be told you got to give up half your country or whatever like that by President Trump, that's a hard, tough pill to swallow, I guess. I don't know exactly what President Trump's, from here, I've understood what President Trump was trying to do up to here, but if we, the United States, are not going to give the Ukrainians any help, militarily or monetarily, any longer, I don't know what role President Trump has to play in this any longer. Do you know? It's really between Zelensky and Putin.
That's what it comes down to.
And, you know, well, it's a death match, basically, over there.
Zelensky feels that he could win it if he had more support from the United States.
Yeah, but he's not getting it.
No. I mean, they talked about the Tomahawk missiles.
He's been asking for it. And Trump may tease him every once in a while with maybe we'll do this, maybe we'll do that. But I don't think Trump's going to do anything
so far
to provoke these economic sanctions, anything militarily to provoke a war between the United States and Russia, for example.
Right.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. How many people died over there in Ukrainian-Russian war? Any estimates? I mean, like a couple hundred thousand, or is it
Russia,
than-
according to one report, I mentioned this maybe 2 weeks ago on the show, Russia has supposedly lost 1 million people.
Wow. Well, they've got conscripts, is that what you call them?
Yes, and they've recently called up more people.
They've also got mercenaries. I'm talking about Russia does, and they've also got, they even pulled in some soldiers from North Korea.
Right. Right.
Kids. I mean, reports.
Well, they pulled in, but those North Korean soldiers had no boat in the matter. They were sent by their own dictator and put out there in the field as slaughter for the Ukrainians.
Right.
Go ahead.
Let me say this real quick. I looked this up in the show live one time because Ed asked that very question. How many people have died on both sides? Reports are all over the place. But like just to show you. I mean, when you Google it, how many lives have been lost in Ukraine? One report pops up that says approximately 1 million casualties.
Between the two sides.
Oh, just in Russia.
Oh, Russians.
Yeah.
Russian
now,
alone.
You're going to see other reports with much smaller numbers. So take that into account. But there are allegations or claims out there that Russia has lost approximately 1 million people.
Yeah. All right. I tell you what, let's take our break right here. And when we get back, Dr. Alex McFarland will join us. And we haven't talked to Alex in a while. And he's co-host of Exploring the Word each afternoon here on American Family Radio with Brother Bert Harper. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray, we thank you for listening. That's our names. We thank you for listening. And we shall return momentarily with more of Today's Issues on American Family Radio.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward, and we are joined by our brother Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. We three are in Tupelo. And our Tar Heel, one of our Tar Heel friends is on the phone, but they may be traveling today. That is Dr. Alex McFarland. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
Where are you?
Good morning. Yes, I am in North Carolina getting ready to make it to Greensboro on time, we hope, for Exploring the Word this afternoon.
So you got a speaking engagement tonight or something?
I do. And then going to Pittsburgh in the morning. We've got a biblical worldview weekend at a church outside of Pittsburgh. But next week I'll be with Angie and I will be with Bert and Jan at the Fishbowl Retreat at Pickwick Landing State Park, which I think is in Tennessee, actually.
Yes, it's on the Mississippi-Tennessee border there. Yeah, about an hour from where we are. But that's wonderful. I wanted to ask you, Alex, by the way, you and Bert have written. You and Bert Harper have written how many books now together?
Three,
and you got another one planned?
Well, you know, the publisher that we've been working with, Broad Street, they said, "Hey, we like what you guys do. Give it about 2 years, and then we'll take what you got next."
Wondering because we've been promoting those during our share-a-thons, and I know folks love what you and Bert have to do each afternoon, and they love your books too.
Well, we give God the glory, and Tim, I'm just so indebted to you for having the idea for the show Exploring the Word.
I'm not looking for that kind of attention. But please, well, Alex, stop.
But,
no, I mean, if you want to go on for another minute or two, then we need to, does it seem like I'm trying to draw
yes.
to? Okay.
Just
for,
baby.
For those
just
that
baby.
May not know, about, I guess it was about 5 or maybe 6 years ago, Bert and I did the first book, and we thought it would be just a, you know, one and done, but we did 100 Bible questions and answers.
Yep.
And these were the actual questions from the listeners of Exploring the Word. And I kind of keep a notebook, and I write down, especially when we get something kind of new or unusual. And that book did really well, and that book wound up in Barnes & Noble Bookstore, which was really an honor for Bert and I. And then the publisher said, hey, we want more. So about 2.5 years ago, we did one on 100 Bible questions for families and deals a lot with marriage and, you know, parenting and God's word for the family. And then the publisher said, hey, what next? And so it was 2 years ago we started working on the book that just released 2 weeks ago, October 7th. And, Tim, I thought it was interesting because it's 100 Bible questions on prophecy and the end times, a lot in there about Israel and the role of Israel in end time events. And so they said, well, let's make the release date October 7, 2025. And October 7, 2023 was the day that Hamas attacked Israel so brutally. And, you know, our book came out on the two-year anniversary of that and the very same week that the Gaza Peace Agreement was so much in the news. So a book on prophecy that released in certainly prophetic times.
Let me ask you, Alex, talking about the Jews and the fact that they, that group of people, do you call the Jews a race or just an ethnic group or what, or both?
I would say it's an ethnic group. And, you know, it's certainly religious and ethnic. You know, there's
the ethnic part of the ethnic part of it I'm talking about, I guess. And I wanted to ask you this question because, and Ray, you can comment, Fred, whatever. When people look at the history of the Bible and the authenticity of, and they question the authenticity of the Bible or the accuracy of the Bible, for example, in terms of history, in terms of theology, but if you're going to say the Bible is just a book of fables and fairy tales, then I have to look at, wait a minute, the Bible, at least in the Old Testament, primarily is about the relationship between God and the Jews, right? Mm-hmm. Got any affirmation here, fellas?
Yes.
Or am I, y'all gonna leave me out here by myself?
No, that's right.
Can I get an amen?
Yes. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. So, I mean, y'all just sat there quiet, and I'm going like, did I say something wrong? Okay. So I'm gonna ask you first, Alex, and then Ray can comment. What the fact that the Jews are still around today, after all these thousands of years, and we go back to at least Abraham, right? And Moses, and, mm-hmm. and that's thousands of years ago. And they're still here today. You don't see any Philistines running around or, you know, Canaanites or the Hittites. Now, you got Egyptians, but I'm talking about there. That's a nationality, basically. So, anyway, go ahead and comment on that, if you would.
Yeah, and you know what's so amazing? Well, like Mark Twain, who was a professed atheist, and this was even before the rebirth of the nation of Israel, but back in the late 19th century, Mark Twain said, if there's anything that makes me believe in God and the supernatural, it's the Jewish people. And an incredibly tiny ethnicity, yet disproportionately huge in terms of their influence, their resilience, their longevity, and every Jewish person on the planet is descended from four women: Sarah, Rachel, Leah, Rebecca. Sarah, Rachel, Leah, Rebecca. And I was on a show about a month ago with two representatives of the Jewish Federation of North America, and they were talking about how they are. I mean, they are meticulous in preserving their family lineages, and it is a miraculous people. And I would say there are many compelling lines of evidence that tell us the Bible is God's infallible word. But for any skeptic that would wonder, is the Bible really supernatural? It's a supernatural book about a miraculous Savior, but God sent Jesus through this miraculous people group, the Jews.
Yeah. Right?
A while back, I was teaching through the book of Joshua, and I ran across this, I guess you'd call it a PowerPoint picture, and this Joshua picture of the Holy Land and all the enemies that Joshua faced. I mean, there's Joshua and his people, but you have the Hittites, the Hivites, the Girgashites, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the all the Ike brothers, right? They're all there. The Girgashites are gone, the Hivites are gone, the Hittites are gone, the Ammonites are gone, the Amorites are gone, the Canaanites are gone. All of them are gone, but the Jewish people remain. And it's fascinating. You know, Alex mentioned Mark Twain. I have a book I've been reading on and off by the great Anglican bishop J.C. Ryle in the 1800s, and he argued strongly for two things. Number one, that the fact that the Jewish people have survived so long and so far is the direct providential hand of God.
Yes.
And he predicted in the late 1800s, there must be a regathering of the Jewish people in their ancestral homeland. And he lived and died without seeing that come to pass. But in 1948, according to the hand and the providence of God, it happened. The Jews have remained, while those who have attacked them and tried to kill them have disappeared.
Fred?
Well, also just to bring it right up to date, there is no rational reason why the Jewish people are hated. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
What happened after October 2023, within 48 hours, there were anti-Israel protests. Doesn't make sense. They had just been attacked.
Right.
2 days before. Right. 1,200 people massacred. Yet on the streets of New York and other university campuses, you had people out saying Israel's the bad guy. This doesn't make sense rationally. It doesn't make sense rationally that the people surrounding Israel, the countries around there, I mean, Israel faces threats from them every day.
Other than anti-Semitism, that would only be the quote rational part of this.
Yes, yeah. But Israel doesn't go out and attack people unless they are defending themselves.
Right.
They are not the aggressors. Unlike Iran, some of these other countries, Israel just simply wants to exist and defend itself.
Right.
In the little
sliver of land on planet Earth.
Stamp land.
Yes.
Remember what God gave them. I was just reading it again this morning. Guys from Genesis 15, from the Nile to the Euphrates, God said, this is your land. So they're on a tiny, tiny portion of that. And they're having to fight to keep that.
I know when people say, well, this is the land of that the Jews stole the Palestinians' land to create the nation of Israel, which basically what Palestine was not a country, okay, prior to 1948. Yeah. But they never talk about, wait a minute, the history of the Jews in the land of Israel goes back thousands of years, okay? So that if you want to go about whose land it is, historically speaking, it would be the Jews, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
All right. So Alex, so you and Bert, the 100 Bible questions on prophecy and end times, we use that to send to all our people who gave us a donation of a certain amount during our share-a-thon. So people should be receiving that book any day now, the next week or so. We've been putting those. We put those in the mail, so it's out of our hands. out of our hands. But I just wanted people to know. Well, I'm looking for the book. Well, it's in the mail, and you'll get it if you made a donation during our share-a-thon to American Family Radio. Well, Alex, thanks so much for being on with us. So you're trying. You and Bert are going to be live this afternoon.
Yes, and we'll be wrapping up the book of 2 Peter. And we're in 2 Peter chapter 3, if people want to read ahead. And join us at 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern, and in the time zone of your choice.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it very much.
God bless you guys. Thanks.
Okay. Brother Alex, he's on the phone. I guess he's in his car, maybe.
Probably, yeah.
But he's on his phone. Usually he joins us from his house there in North Carolina. He lives on a peanut farm. No, not a peanut farm. Yeah, it's a peanut farm.
He does. He makes his own peanut butter.
Yeah. Yeah. Who can say that on this panel, right?
Not me. Yeah.
For spring Fred, share-a-thon, we're going to have a book about peanut butter.
Fred, you make your own peanut butter?
No, sir.
Chris?
No.
Adam Suddeth, our producer over here, you make your own peanut butter?
I make myself go to the grocery store to buy the peanut butter.
Buy the peanut butter. Alex makes his own.
He does. I've tasted his peanut butter.
Delicious.
It's rich.
Yeah.
It really is.
All right, so what's your next story there, Chris?
Well, since we were talking about Israel and just Bible topics and things like that, I want to take a moment to focus for a minute or two on this kidnapped missionary in Niger. News broke yesterday, or actually late Monday night, the U.S. government has confirmed this, that an American Christian missionary was kidnapped in the West African nation of Niger, which some people now pronounce as Niger. Sources told Fox News that they suspect that the missionary has been taken north to Islamic State-controlled areas where an offshoot of ISIS operates. And I bring all this up because I've got some audio here of Tennessee Pastor Josh Sullivan. Some people might remember Pastor Sullivan as being the missionary that was kidnapped months ago in South Africa. He was rescued days later, and he had this to say about the situation involving this American missionary in Niger. Clip 13.
Yeah, there's very, very little details, and I think that's intentional. I know with ours, our story was shot out so quickly, and there was a lot of missed things, and it's probably a good thing that there's not a lot of details. We just need to pray, definitely, for this individual. Had a lot of people praying on our behalf for him, and God obviously can do big things. He did big things in our life, and he can do the same in this individual's life, and I just would kind of ask for Christians to pray again for this man.
Niger is different than Nigeria.
Two yes. separate countries, mm-hmm. yeah.
You know where this is, Ray?
Yeah, that's in. I'm going to say, that's North Africa, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're trying. We're
Niger yes. is. Oh, I'm looking. Yeah, Niger is. Looks like to me, it's just below the Saharan Desert. Yeah. In the middle of Africa.
It's landlocked. Yeah.
It borders Algeria, Chad, Libya, right there.
It's just north of Niger is just north of Nigeria.
Okay. That's right. Uh-huh. That's right. So this gentleman, American missionary, kidnapped.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so in there, there are dangerous parts of the world where American missionaries, Canadian too, uh-huh. go into to spread the word of God, to share the gospel of Christ, to minister to people. They're called to be foreign missionaries, and they go to places that are not stable all the time. And this gentleman here. Any more information on him? How old he is? Or anything?
It's been
what his name is
lacking in terms of detail.
Okay,
we know he was a pilot, serving as a pilot. He's been in Niger for I think 10 years.
Yes, since 2010.
And what mission board does he serve with? Does it say?
In a story that Steve's been working on, he worked with a missionary board called SIM.
Right. That used to be called Sudan Interior Mission 100+ years ago, and then now they've taken the SIM and they've put different words to it. But yeah, I know. I have known a lot of people who served with SIM, and most of them serving in places like Chad, Nigeria, Sudan, Mali, going to some, Tim, you're talking tough areas. Mm-hmm. Those areas, very, very tough.
Well, in Nigeria, just so far this year, I think 7,000 Christians mm-hmm. have been massacred by Muslim radicals.
Listen, the Muslims attacking the Christians in Africa is like a perpetual problem for Christians who just want to live in peace. But the Muslims that, and a lot of, I'm not saying all the Muslims are militants or terrorists, but the ones attacking in Nigeria seem to be wanting to crush the Christians just because they're Christians and they're not Muslims.
That is correct.
And so they're terrorizing them. And as you say, how many thousands have...
7,000 so far this year.
In Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thousands of Christians have died.
Yeah, and the government is either unwilling or unable to stop it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tony Perkins has done he's covered a lot of the situation in Nigeria in recent days, and we air Washington Watch every day at 4 to 5 Central on AFR. So check that out for more information on Nigeria, in addition to all the mission-minded programs that we also offer.
Yeah, and of course, we have friends of our ministry in Togo,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which is not too far from Nigeria, mm-hmm. actually. But there you have there's a clash there along the central part of, I'm not an expert on this, but particularly the central part of Africa where the Islamic world comes down and meets the Christian, or not necessarily Christian, some are Christian, but non-Muslim world. How about that? I put it that way. And there seem to be always at war. There's coups all the time. Africa just is a very unstable continent and always has been. And it's just like one coup after another in the same, in the various and different countries. Do you know the history of Africa? Was that divided after World War One, Ray? Do you know the answer to that?
You mean?
Divided up. Who divided up the countries of Africa to make them?
Well, you have French-speaking Africa.
Yes.
You have English-speaking Africa.
Right.
You've got Dutch-speaking Africa, like Mozambique, right, in Angola. So the British had Uganda, and the French had Ivory Coast.
This is the colonization period
in human history, right?
Back in the 1700s and 1800s, probably.
Right.
I just wonder who divided all the, because they seem to, the lines are just drawn up like arbitrarily here in the countries of, a lot of that happened after World War One, I believe.
I'm sure that's right.
I'm correct. You know anything about that?
No, okay. But the way Ray has described it there, according, the colonization period.
Yeah.
But right now, I mean, the big problem, particularly there in the northern part, are the Muslims.
Yeah.
And they are becoming
Boko Haram. People have heard of that. That's ISIS of Africa.
Yeah. Yes. They predate ISIS. We were doing stories on Boko Haram when I started here 15 plus years ago.
It's an Islamic terrorist group in Africa. Yes. All right, next story, Chris.
What do you got left? Well, let's do this.
We got 7 minutes.
Yes.
You got any good news?
Unfortunately,
dig down in there and find us some good news.
I'll play this because it might get some chuckles from the panel. Democrats continue to voice outrage over Donald Trump wanting to reconstruct some things and do some things differently at the White House with this ballroom.
Oh, he's doing it differently, all right.
He is. Now, Democrats, including Hillary Clinton, who 25 years ago was in the news, even mainstream liberal news organizations, for taking furniture and silverware from the White House. Democrats continue to blast.
You mean up on there when they left?
Yes.
The Clintons left, and they loaded up the
forks and knives.
Like Jed Clampett.
Yes. So Democrats, including Hillary Clinton this week, have blasted Donald Trump. How dare you do this? It's the people's house. It's not your house. Things like that. Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, had a few things to say about this.
Excuse me for interrupting. I know I do this. It's rare that I interrupt. But I would just wanted people to know exactly what's happened here, because this isn't – we're not moving around the furniture.
No.
And President Trump, and I'm not criticizing him, okay, has demolished the East Wing. Okay, I'm talking about like HGTV type stuff, okay? Okay, you're just – demolishing the way, because he's building a grand ballroom, to replace the East Wing of the White House. So that's what some people, the liberals, are outraged over.
Yeah,
right?
Liberals just wake up every day and find something about Donald Trump to gripe about. So Democrats are making allegations and saying, How dare Donald Trump do this? Friends in the news media continue to air their criticism. Here's what Republican Senator Josh Hawley had to say about the Dem outrage. Clip 16.
What about just uprooting the, this is an iconic building?
Manu, I will just say this. I made this point yesterday, that I hear all of a sudden from my liberal friends that they're very concerned about our history. Really, these are the same people who tore down every statue they could get their hands on in the last 4 years. Christopher Columbus, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt. They didn't have any concern for history then. Now all of a sudden, like, oh, the facade of the East Wing is iconic. Oh, give me a break. Give me a break.
That's good from Josh Hawley. I'm senator from Missouri. I will say this. There's always been, down through history, somebody built the East Wing.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's been changes on the White House grounds down through history. And so President Obama built a basketball court out there. So who put the bowling alley in
Richard
there?
Richard Nixon. If you'll remember, in 2012, the economy was not very good at the time, and people said, hey, we're broke. We don't have the money for things like a presidential inauguration, and Obama still brought out all the stops for his, swearing in ceremony.
Let's keep in mind, the renovations being done by President Trump, no taxpayers' dollars.
Really?
He's using his own money, and he's got investors, including Comcast. They have donated to the cost of building this ballroom. And Comcast, they own MSNBC, I believe.
They have been the owner. I think they're trying to get rid of it. But, there's a connection there.
Yes, yes.
Okay, the two bowling alleys, a single-lane one in the West Wing and the two-lane Truman bowling alley in the basement of the Eisenhower Executive Office. Yeah. The Truman Alley was originally built in the West Wing in 1947.
President Nixon might have had some cassette tapes of him talking about things.
Single lane alley, to Chris's point, the single lane alley. Are y'all interested in this?
Oh, yeah.
You don't care, okay. Because I'll stop if you don't care. The single lane alley in the White House, the bowling alley, was built, as Chris said, by President Nixon in 1973. So there you go. But you know what? I saw the plans that President Trump, he released those plans, what, a couple of weeks ago. It looked like a beautiful new facility there at the White House to replace the East Wing. It's a grand ballroom, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll have multi-purposes, but I just don't know, you know, what, well, I do know, you know, like you said, the liberals are just going to complain about anything President Trump does.
They wake up every day complain about something.
But in this case, the plans look beautiful to me, I saw. It looked like probably a much-needed upgrade there because they still do have some, you know, formal meetings in the East Wing. Mm-hmm. Most things are in the West Wing.
They've done some work on the Rose Garden, too.
Yeah.
And he explained that the other day. Right. They put kind of a rock finishing on the lawn because he said the chairs were sinking into the mud every time they had an event there. So he had to stop.
I've been there twice. Uh-huh. I'm not bragging.
I've seen the outside.
Once I did go for a dinner at the White House with Christian leaders.
Yeah.
There was about 100 of us there. That was about 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
It was the first term. 2017 or 18, right in there. And, yeah, and President Trump and the First Lady hosted the dinner. And I got pictures to prove it.
Yeah. What'd you have? What's the menu?
Oh, wow. I think I had steak.
Steak?
Yeah, steak.
From Argentina?
Good one, Fred. Yeah. I think it was a what's for dinner. American beef. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.